Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the State Government Finance Committee hearing. We do have a forum, so we'll start. We have several items on the agenda today. First of all, clerk will note the roll, and then Representative Cornish, have you had a chance to review the minutes for February 18th?
Yes, I have, and I'll move them.
Okay, we have motion by Representative Cornish to approve the minutes as posted on February 18th. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion then prevails. Okay, the first item we have up then is House File 1820. Representative Broad. And I will mention today on House File 1820 and 1802 that we're waiting for the budget forecast to come through, so we're not going to vote on those bills today. We'll just hear them and then lay them over and then bring them back up after we have the governor's budget, because both of these have an impact to what is the outcome of the forecast and the governor's budget. So, and we've talked to both authors on that. So, Representative Broad?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, wait, we need to move the bill. So, Representative Strand, do you want to move it? Okay. So, Representative Strand, we'll move House File 1820. Representative Broad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You may remember last year I was before this committee trying to change the tuition reimbursement from 75% to 80%. Now I'm before you looking to change the tuition reimbursement for the National Guard from 80% up to 100%. Nearly all states have some form of tuition reimbursement, and it's been a primary recruiting tool for the National Guard, and we've had great success with this tool, and we need to continue making sure that the National Guard has the flexibility to use this program to the best advantage. We all know that freedom is not free, and we're looking at prioritizing our spending and making sure that we have some money set aside, and that will be indicated in a future date. So thank you for hearing the bill. I do have Colonel Lord here with me today if you do have any questions.
Okay. And members, we heard this bill in State Government, or in Governor GovOps, so it's down here for our review. And one question I had, Colonel Lord, is would it be possible to give you the authority as in military discretion over whether you fund this reimbursement at 80% or 100%, to give you flexibility? Because if you have a, you know, say you have a low participation at this year, you may want to fund it at 100%. We still leave the dollars the same, but gives you the flexibility to make the decision. That way we don't have to come back to the legislature all the time.
Mr. Chairman, members.
Colonel
Gunny Lord, Executive Director of National Guard, for the record. Yes, sir, that would be fine. We would have that, we could do that. In essence, we've done that in the past, but just 75%. Mm-hmm. The funding rates were such that it ended up where we were actually paying the participants at 50% or less. So it would have actually give us some flexibility by moving it at 100%, and if the funds are there to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. At this time, we're able to fund, we could fund actually at 100%. Based on the number of participants that we have, but we expect because of all of the points, when the people return, that they will engage in this program much more vigorously than they have in the past. Our participation down is considerably down because of the number that we have. Mm-hmm. And the good side of that, as I mentioned earlier, Mr. Chairman, we've got a lot of our soldiers right now are returning from Bosnia. That commission is starting to be reduced. We just had another 400 that are over at Fort McCoy out of the 1,100 that are deployed over in Bosnia right now. They're coming back a little bit earlier than we had expected, which is real great for us. And I think some of those people obviously will, because of that time, will start to be involved with this program. This is a great program.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair.
Representative Brown.
I believe the bill does exactly what your question is indicating, is that it gives the department or it gives the guard the flexibility because it limits it to a maximum, but it doesn't indicate that they have to go lower than that or can't go lower than that. So I think that's on lines 15 of page 2, talking about limiting.
Okay. Because that's one of the things I was concerned with in there. And then on the appropriation, if we work within the current appropriation that is there for the department, we struck section 2 on page 3, we would change policy, and then the military would work within their current budget constraints. And we wouldn't really need an appropriation at this time. Carl.
If I understand correctly, are we talking about that this would be just a part of the general fund that we have to be able to, for the department, part of our base along those lines?
Colonel, what we do is we would set an appropriation for tuition reimbursement, similar to what we have now, but, you know, under this bill, we'd have an appropriation earmarked for this year. And since this isn't a budget year, and if we're working within your current tuition reimbursement account, and that's what I think we're talking about, we could really proceed with this bill if we took out Section 2. Because you'd have the authority to work within this year, and then when you come back to the legislature, you know, you would put in your request for tuition reimbursements, you know, up to the level that you would need in the future. And then it would be, you know, a decision of the committee as far as how much we could appropriate.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rod.
My question would be to you, if we could leave that section in for the moment until we understand what the budget is going to be coming out at that point, and then maybe go back in and revisit it since it is going to be laid over anyway. I guess my preference would be that we leave that in at the current time and revisit it.
All right. That's fair enough, because I just want to make sure. I know this is a priority, because I know the troops spoke to the governor when he was over there, when I was over there at Christmas time. This, in our town meetings we held with the troops, this was a strong priority for them. They wanted to have the tuition reimbursement program. They said that's what they're there for, is to go to college.
And I think leaving that in at the current time will indicate that, that is that strong of a priority.
Okay. All right. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just looking at the fiscal note, and there's an assumption there that the participation rate is going to remain stable if we increase the 80 to 100%. Do you think that's accurate? And if it's not, if it is accurate, why do we go to 100%?
Colonel.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, right now, based on the data we have, we think that it will stay somewhat stable along those particular lines, given the program as it stands today.
Follow-up, Representative Thiessen.
When I say the state, the stability in there, we expect it to go up from where it's at today considerably, but back to the same level it was prior to the war efforts and the deployment.
Okay. Could I ask a question?
Representative Thiessen.
It's to the witnesses or not. Just so I understand. So when we look at the fiscal note, then, does that mean that we'd be underestimating costs? I'm not sure what the baseline of the fiscal note is. If it's stable today, but they're expecting it to go up.
Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Chair, members, I believe that the base they're using is actually fiscal year 02. And so current participation is lower than that base because of the deployments, but they're expecting with this change that the rates would go back up to the 02 levels.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Other questions? Representative Strand.
Mr. Chair, Colonel, do you put like a cap on per individual tuition per year if they go to a very expensive place? And then my second question is, if the money does run out, does it simply, is it depleted? Is there no more that year, or how does that work?
Colonel.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the number of dollars that the individual participant gets based on the rate of the University of Minnesota across the line, so they can participate in any school in the state along that line, but it's based on the maximum rate for the University of Minnesota, so it's capped at that particular level for the time. If, now, in reference to your second question along the line, participants along the line, if it goes to the numbers that we're unable, this is a reimbursement program, so based on that fact is if we don't have enough money, then unfortunately we have to reduce it, from 80%, if we have the dollars at that point, it could be reduced down, whatever the money we have is basically what we will do, which has been a challenge for us in the past when the monies were down significantly lower. Because basically we make a contract with these young people when they're going off to go to school, and they expect to get paid at that particular rate, and that's our expectation. But if we end up with double the number of participants, then it's a real challenge for that. And we want to make sure that we're upfront when people join, and we also, the number of participants along the line are aware of that fact, that there is a possibility of reduction, but we also want to start out with at a level of funding that they expect. I mean, 80%, if we tell people to get that, we should be able to pay them 80% for young persons going off to school.
And this is a very strong recruitment tool, from my understanding.
Well, Jeremy, this is an excellent recruitment tool along that line in there. We've been used very successfully throughout the year, actually, our recruiting has shown that. And we're in a market where we've got other surrounding states, but some have better programs than we have, some have less. But this has been an excellent tool for us to use. And it's a return, really. You know, we're building good citizens. If the education system is being used, most of the time, a lot of these kids are going back into state schools, so we're recycling money back into the state school system. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Okay. Representative Jacobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colonel Lord, as long as we're giving you a chance to do a promotional commercial here for the program.
what are you signing up? Got a card? He's in. He's in there.
Representative Jacobson, raise your right hand.
Couldn't get the razor out.
we'll talk. The question I have is, what are the rules or the policies in place as far as graduate work or post-bachelor's level coursework?
Mr. Chairman, we're capped at the maximum number of credits that a person can be paid for this particular program, but they can be used for graduate level work and also in the medical school arena. We have in the past sent some people. Now, we reduced the numbers, when we needed physicians, as an example, going through medical school, that has been used, not to a vast extent, because we have to judiciously go along those lines. But they can be used in as long as they're going to participate in the Guard. It's a good program for that.
Representative Brock.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Jacobson, you make a good point, because it's not only recruitment that the Guard is interested in, I would imagine, it's also retention. And that's going to be two keys as the Guard starts using their folks in different ways.
Okay. Other questions? All right. Then we'll just lay this aside. And then as soon as we get the budget numbers, then we'll just get it done. Okay. Thank you very much, Colonel. Representative Brock. Members, if you may want to just put that back in your folder, and then we can put it back in to your file there and file folder, and then we have the material for next time. We don't have to reproduce it. Representative Thiessen. Representative Thiessen moves House File 1802.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill that we're talking about, Section House File 1802, is a Bar Association bill related to some proposals brought forward by the Bar Association's Committee on Corporations. And our focus, the reason that we're here, is that there is a fiscal impact to the Secretary of State, based not on the whole bill, it's a long one, but to focus in on Sections 23 through 28, I believe. And what those sections do is they kind of put a new procedure into place in the state, which allows a conversion from a corporation to a limited liability corporation or vice versa as kind of a one-step process. Under the way it works currently is that if a corporation wants to switch to another type of entity, not switching businesses or anything, but just to another type of entity, for instance, if they want to merge with another corporation, and only a corporation can merge with a corporation or an LLC, a limited liability corporation with a limited liability corporation. You can't merge a corporation with a limited liability corporation. So if they want, for instance, if someone wants to do a merger, what has to happen is that they have to take one step, which is transforming the corporation into a limited liability corporation, which requires paperwork and some money and lawyer's time and all of that to go through, which is really only a preliminary step to the second step, which is the merger. And what this does is it allows kind of a quick switchover with just basically the filing of documents. It kind of doesn't change the substance of any of our protections or laws. It just will make things much easier for folks that are trying to deal with these corporate formalities and move their business ahead or do what they want with their businesses. So my understanding from talking with the lawyers who have done this, and I'm not a corporate lawyer myself, so I don't do all this kind of stuff, but from talking with them and from business people, is that this actually will save a lot of money to businesses, kind of avoiding unnecessary red tape. And the reason that we have a fiscal note is because this is a new animal, the Secretary of State, and I guess, Bert, if you want to, if that's all right, Mr. Chair.
That's okay, that's fine.
It has to do some computer conversion. And go ahead.
Welcome to the committee. If you state your name and who you represent for the committee.
Bert, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bert Black. I'm a business and legal analyst with the Secretary of State's office. And we have no issues with the merits of the corporate LLC conversion and merger provisions. The only issue that we want to bring forward is that there are approximately $20,000 of computer programming, about 195 hours and $100 an hour for this new, the conversion is a new function that we haven't had in business entities of this type before. Basically, this, if you think of the process of conversion as a square, right now you have to make basically three right turns to get to perhaps where you might want to go, and this allows you to just make one step to get there. The three turns right now are you generally have to merge into a corporation in another state, for example Delaware, where this kind of conversion is permitted. Then you convert there, then you come back and qualify or merge with a Minnesota LLC, qualify to do business in the state as a foreign LLC, or merge with a Minnesota LLC and get to be a Minnesota entity again that way. And that's a lot of work, especially for any company of any particular size. So I think Representative Thiessen is correct, the policy of this bill is on these sections is absolutely a good one. The reason that we have to do the programming, we have three different facets in our, you know, recently in the last 5 to 6 years, the Secretary of State's office has become much more automated and computer programmed. And we have three facets, really. The first facet is that we have our database. So the database has been, this is a new function for that database to handle. The second part is that we have, and that database has been around for a while, that's an older system called Mapper. The second part is that we have an SQL system that actually handles all of the seeding and other fiscal functions, and also we image documents on that. The final piece is we have a web interface. If you've gone to our website, you'll find that you can look up most anything about a corporation on our web interface. All three of these pieces need to have some work done on them. So that's why we're here. We have, as I said, about a $20,000 impact.
Mr. Blanco, there's some efficiencies and savings, because it seems like if you're taking all these steps to get to where we're making the conversion, shouldn't there be efficiencies and reduction of paperwork and things like that, and within your office to get to that point?
Actually, the efficiencies will occur in the state of Delaware, because that's where actually most of those transactions will actually wind up occurring. When you go out to merge in Delaware and convert in Delaware, those are things that Delaware will not have to do that work, but they also won't get some filing fees. So you'll be able to do this simply here with one-step process and one transaction and one filing fee. So the there are some efficiencies to the private sector, yes.
Mm-hmm. Representative Thiessen?
Yeah, and people are very excited about this concept and this proposal, who have to do all this paperwork, basically. And so, I know that we're going to lay this on the table,
yeah.
But it is I think it's very good policy.
Okay. Questions from committee members? Okay, it sounds like kind of a common sense thing to do, but we had to come up with $18,000. So, okay. All right, then we'll just lay this aside and
thank you.
Bring it up after the forecast. Thank you very much, Representative Thiessen. Representative Jacobson, do you want to take the chair? Hey, again, if you put your material back in the file.
Thank you, Representative Haas. Would you like to move your
bill? I'll move House File 2340.
Okay. With that, Representative Haas, would you care to present the bill?
Okay. Members, if you recall, we eliminated the Office of Technology, but within there, there was a count that would have been set up where there was money being expended for technological usage. And inadvertently, the fund was not dealt with in this. There was supposed to be a correction in last year, and it wasn't done, and through the rush of the session, and it was supposed to be done in the revisor's bill, and it got missed in the revisor's bill. And what we have today is the Board of Nursing has almost all of their computer needs done, and they need an expenditure of money from that fund, which is frozen right now, to finish up their systems. So what this bill does is it releases the money for the completion of that system. And so it's a very simple bill, but I do have a person here to testify on it, so.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the tape.
Mr. Chair, my name is Larry Fine. I'm with the Department of Administration. And yes, this bill just simply releases funds. There's actually another project that was in the works too. There's our Land Management Information Center Geo-Integrator project was another one that is included in here that was underway, and then it had to stop when this account was frozen there. And the money is sitting there in an account, but it is frozen by the Department of Finance, so we don't have access to it. So what we're simply asking here is that these funds are released to use for these and complete these two projects.
Questions? Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, being that we needed $18,000 for the Thiessen bill, could we do what we need to do for $99,000 and swing that $18,000 over?
I'd go for that.
I mean, it's not a rhetorical question. I mean, is that a possibility?
Representative Haas.
Mr. Chair, Representative Seifert, we can maybe look into that if it's just a technological need, if it would qualify, but we need to move this bill through and get it done. In fact, there's an urgency on this bill because we're going to try to get it to Ways and Means yet this week and before next week.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Representative Thiessen.
Can I just follow up on that? Is that all the money there is in that fund right now?
Mr. Friend.
Mr. Chair, there is an additional $6,800 that will be canceled to the general fund in that account.
As long as I know.
Any additional questions, members? Representative Haas, I believe this, like you said, does have to go to Ways and Means.
Right, so the motion would be to move it to Ways and Means.
Okay, are you going direct to Ways and Means, or are we going to lay this over for...
No, this
goes direct.
So this is Ways and Means.
Okay. You want to renew your motion?
I would renew my motion and House File 2340 be recommended pass and be referred to Committee of Ways and Means.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion does prevail.
Thank you, members.
And no further business before the committee. The committee is adjourned.